I want to bring you a Bible study today from the book of Job. If you'll take your Bibles and open them to Job chapter 19. Chapter 19, I'm going to begin reading with verse 23 in just a few moments. Job 19, verse 23 to 28. But first of all, let me tell you a few things about Job. Job is said by most Bible students to be the oldest book in the Bible, that he lived before Abraham. But like Abraham, Job believed God. Job was a believer. In fact, the Lord himself called Job my servant. Have you considered my servant Job? And then Job was not only a believer, but Job was a man of integrity. Job was a godly man. Again, the Lord said about Job, there's none like him on the earth, a man who fears God and avoids evil. That's Job. The Lord said that about him. And then thirdly, Job was a man who spoke the truth about God. At the end of the book of Job, when our Lord rebukes his three friends, he said, "You haven't spoken the truth about me." But he said, "Job, my servant Job, has spoken of me the things that are right." Oh, how I would love for that to be the testimony of God concerning this preacher. He has spoken of me the things that are right. But let's go on. Even in the New Testament, Job is talked about, written about. The Apostle James calls attention to his faith and his patience, and exhorts us to have the patience of Job. But another thing about this man, he was a man of great trials. I mean great trials and great suffering. I hear people say, well, if you're a believer, you won't have suffering, won't have sickness, won't have pain. That's not true. Job was a believer. God said, he's my servant. Job told the truth about God. He tells the truth about me. Job, God says, is an upright man who fears God. But the Lord permitted Job to be subjected to some of the most difficult trials and troubles that a person could possibly bear. That's right. He was a man of great wealth. It says in Job 1:3, this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. And in a matter of days, he was broke, sitting in poverty, without a thing. Job was a family man. He had 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. The most beautiful daughters, the scripture said. And all of them, all 10 of them, killed in a storm. Wiped out in a moment. This believer lost all 10 of his children in a moment. Job was a man of great strength and health. And now he's broken, frail, covered with boils, sitting in sackcloth and ashes and scraping himself with a potsherd, hardly recognizable. When his friends came to see him, they wept and rent their garments because they didn't even recognize him. But Job bore these trials in great faith. I want you to listen. I'm going to read you 4 statements that Job made. 4 powerful statements. Right in the midst of these severe, harsh trials that God permitted to come upon him. Now here's what he said in Job 1:21. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gave me those children. He took them away. He gave me my health. He took it away. He gave me my wealth. He took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I came into this world naked, and I leave this world that way. In all this, Job 1:22, in all of this, all of these heartaches and sorrow and heartbreak, Job never blamed God. He never charged God with foolishness. Never did. In Job 2, verse 10, his wife told him, said, why don't you curse God and die? That's right. That's what his wife said to him. Just curse God and die. He said, what? Shall we receive good from the hand of God? And shall we not also receive evil or trials also? He said this. He replied this way. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. That's faith. That's the confidence of a believer. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. Now, how can this be? How can a person believe God when there's so little outward evidence that God even cares about him? This man Job, now I tell you, he's lost everything. He's sitting there on the ash heap, scraping his boils. And his friends are sitting there who've come to comfort him, and they sat there for several days and never said a word. His grief was so great. How can a man still believe God when there's so little outward evidence that God is near? How can a man rejoice? How can he say, blessed be the name of the Lord, and worship? How can he worship and bless God when his heart is so broken and so sad? How can a man have peace and hope when all of his earthly foundations crumble? How can a man pray and worship and call on God when it seems like his prayers are not being heard? Well, the answer is found in that text that I told you to turn to. Job 19:25. Listen. Here is the whole foundation. Here is this man's faith. In spite of all that's happening to him, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I'll see God. Now that, my friends, is our confession of faith. Whatever transpires, whatever takes place, whatever comes our way, that's our confidence. That's our confession of faith. I know. Whatever happens, I know this, my Redeemer. I know, Paul said, whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded is able to keep that which I've committed to him. I know my Redeemer liveth. Our faith, that's our faith in summary. That's our hope of redemption. That's our hope of eternal glory. Look back at verse 23. Job says, write this. Now you write this. What I'm about to say, you write it. Oh, that my words were written in a book. Well, they were, Job. Here they are. I'm reading them. Here in 2001, I'm reading about the oldest man in the book. One of the oldest. Oh, that my words were written in a book. Print these words for everybody to read. I know my Redeemer liveth. And again in verse 24, he said, oh, that my words could be engraved on a rock with a lead pen in the rock forever. And other, some writer said, Job says, write this on my tombstone. In the rock, engrave it. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know. What is the word Redeemer? What does Redeemer? Well, I tell you, it's the kinsman Redeemer. Now listen to me. I'll teach you something here if you'll listen. It's the kinsman Redeemer. Under the Old Testament law, when a man fell on hard times, when a man has lost everything, lost his land, lost his herd, lost his flock, lost his house, lost his money, lost his living, everything, he's destitute, nothing. If he had a near kinsman, now this was the Jewish law, if he had a near kinsman who was kin to him and was very wealthy and loved him and was willing to assume his debts, then this near kinsman could redeem him, pay his debts, and restore to him everything he lost. And that's the kinsman redeemer. That's the whole story of the book of Ruth. You've read the book of Ruth. You remember how the man called Elimelech? His wife was Naomi. Her name was Pleasant. Naomi. Elimelech, Naomi. They were wealthy people. Lived in Bethlehem. Long way back yonder. And there was a famine. So Elimelech sold out. Sold everything he had. Packed up. He and his wife Naomi and two boys left Bethlehem. Left Judah. Left Israel. and went to a pagan country called Moab, a wretched pagan country. And Elimelech lived a few years and died. And his two sons married pagan girls, Ruth and Orpha. Was that her name? And then they both died. And here was Naomi, a widow, and two widowed daughters-in-law. And she says, I'm bankrupt, nothing, destitute. She said, I'm going back to Bethlehem. You girls going back to your people. I'm going to Bethlehem. And Orpha went on back to her people. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor follow after thee. Where you go, I go. Where you dwell, I dwell. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. And where you're buried, that's where I'll be buried. So Ruth went with Naomi, and they came back to Bethlehem. Two women walking. And their friends saw him coming. The people who dwelt in Bethlehem saw him coming. And Naomi looked so wretched, ragged, all those years, broken-hearted, this young girl with her. And they said, is this Naomi? Is this the woman that left here rich, wealthy, with husband and son? She said, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. The Lord's dealt bitterly with me. Well, they were so poor that Ruth had to go out in the fields and pick up what was left, some handfuls of barley, what was left when the reapers went through. But there was a man there called Boaz. He was kin to Naomi. He was a kinsman. And he saw Ruth, and he fell in love with her. Didn't know who she was. He asked, who is this damsel? They told him, said, that's the girl who came back from Moab with Naomi. And he said, well, leave her some handfuls on purpose. And he fell in love with her. He was a near kinsman. He fell in love with her. He was wealthy, and he was willing to redeem everything Elimelech lost, everything Naomi lost, and married Ruth. That's the kinsman redeemer. Now listen to me. Can I make good on that? All right. Jesus Christ is my kinsman redeemer. This is what Job said. I'm bankrupt. I'm without anything. I'm at the bottom of the pit. But I know my kinsman redeemer. He'll restore me. He's going to stand on this earth. And the worms destroy this body. Everything I've got's gone. Yet in my flesh, I'm going to see my God, because my kinsman redeemer is going to restore my soul. That's right. Now, what about our kinsman? Well, he's our kinsman. Jesus Christ is our kinsman. Yes, sir. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Son of God became a man. He's called the second Adam. In the first Adam I died. In the second Adam I'm restored. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, I told you this last week, is God from heaven. That's right. He's a man. He was numbered with the transgressors. He's born of woman. He's bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. That's right. Tempted in all points as we are. He's my kinsman. All right, that's just the first requirement. Your Redeemer's got to be a kinsman. But secondly, he's got to be wealthy. And I'm not talking about material possession. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. But we got to have a righteousness. We've got to have a holiness. That's where we're bankrupt. Now, this country's got everything they want materially, but we don't have anything spiritually. We're bankrupt. We're sold down the river. We don't have a thing to bring to God. That's right. We don't have any holiness. We don't have any righteousness. We don't have any sanctification. We don't have any true love. We don't have anything like that. But he's rich in those things. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's holiness personified. He's rich in love, rich in holiness, rich in beauty, rich in mercy. And these are the things we've lost. We're poor and needy. Poor and needy. Well, he's kin to us. He's a man. He's got everything we need. He's wealthy. Bless your heart, he's willing. He's willing. The Redeemer must be a relative. He must be willing. He must be wealthy, but he must be willing. And our Lord said, I lay down my life for my sheep. I love my sheep. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. I lay down my life for my sheep. No man takes it from me. I lay it down willingly. This commandment have I received of my Father. And David said, He restored my soul. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Listen to what Job is saying. And this I know. I know my Redeemer liveth. What's he saying? He's life. Life is in him. The life was manifested, John said, and we've seen it. And we bear witness that eternal life, which was with the Father, was made flesh and manifested to us. That's right. My Redeemer liveth. But not only that, my Redeemer stand on this earth. He came down to this earth, born of a woman, made flesh, and dwelt among us. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Let me show you something. Here I am, flesh and bones. Flesh and bones and blood. Jesus Christ came down here, flesh and bones and blood. Like me. But the difference in me and him, I'm weighted down with sin. Very heavy, very many, very black. Between me and God. Your sins have separated you and your God. He came down here with no sin. And he took my sin. And your sin. Took them all. Took them from us. Our sins were laid on him. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. And the wrath of Almighty God fell on him. On him for my sins. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. And he went to the tomb and buried him. And he arose without sin. Where are my sins? They're not on me. They were on him. They were on me. They were transferred to him. And he bore them and paid for them. And I don't bear them anymore. He put them away. He put away our sin. He said, I've cast the sin, your sin behind my back. I remember them no more. I've cast them into the depths of the sea. He that's in Christ has no sin. They're put away. They're paid for. By his stripes we're healed. My Redeemer liveth. He is life. He lived on this earth as a substitute, as a sin offering, as my Redeemer. Thirdly, my Redeemer liveth now. He died, but he lives. He says this, I am he that liveth. I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of the grave and death. And he ever lives to make intercession. He ever lives, and because he lives, we live in him. And he ever lives as our surety of a better covenant. And he's the testator. Now, let me show you something about this covenant. Last will and testament. A covenant is a testament. Now, here, if I were a wealthy man, I'd make out a last will and testament. And I'd leave everything I have to my wife and to my children. And I'd sign that testament. Now, they can't have it till I die. There's got to be the death of the testator. Got to be the death of the testator. Has to die. So our Lord Jesus Christ made a covenant. He better covenant with better promises and better sacrifices. It's called the New Testament, the New Covenant. And he's the testator. And he died. All right, now, if I leave something to someone, they may receive it and they may not. Because there are different laws and loopholes and people who will contest the will, and nothing down here on this earth is sure. Well, how can we be sure that what Jesus Christ has purchased for us and the inheritance he's left for us and the redemption that he's promised us, that we're going to have it? Because he's not dead, he lives. He's at the right hand of God, and he's the judge. There won't be any loopholes and any self-claimers and any challenges. In fact, he said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rose again, ascended to heaven, and ever lives to make intercession for us. He's the guarantor of our inheritance. Now listen, let's go on with Job. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know he lives. And he'll stand on this earth. But he says something about himself. And though worms destroy this body. What about these old frail bodies? They're getting old and withered and weak and they're dying. And one of these days, Job said, the worms are going to destroy my body. That's right. Our God says, dust you are and dust you shall to dust you shall return. Now, what about these bodies? I want to tell you something. Would you listen? One day we'll die. And this fleshly body shall be put in the ground. And it'll decay. And it'll return to dust. But the soul doesn't return to dust. He says the soul didn't come from dust. The body came from dust and it's going back to dust. But the soul came from God. And the soul's going back to God. So the believer who dies physically does not die spiritually. His soul doesn't die. His body dies. And his soul returns to God who gave it. Paul said, for me to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's right. With God who gave it. And I have a building. I'm going to show you something in just a few moments, a dwelling place. But one day, this body shall rise, as Job said. And this is what he said. The worms destroy this body. Yet, one day, in my flesh, I'll see God, whom I'll see for myself. It won't be another. It'll be myself. Now, how's that going to be? The flesh dies and the worms destroy it and it goes back to the dust from whence it came. But one day, God's going to bring it forth. Let me see if I can show you. In 1 Corinthians 15:35, the question's asked, how are the dead raised and with what body do they come? And then Paul answers this. All flesh is not the same flesh. He says there's a flesh of birds. There's a flesh of fish. There's a flesh of beasts. There's a flesh of people. That's all different kinds of flesh. And the flesh of birds and fish is a whole lot lower and worthless than the flesh of a man. But there's another flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me show you. Jesus Christ died. And he died in the flesh. He was born of a woman. And he came forth with flesh and blood. And was nailed to a cross, crucified, and he died. And he was buried. And he arose again. How did he come forth? In the flesh. In flesh. Glorified flesh. There's the flesh of birds, fish, beasts, people. There's the flesh of the man, Christ Jesus. He appeared to his disciples and they thought they'd seen a ghost. He said, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. Touch me. They reached out and touched him. Flesh. Glorified flesh. He said, if you got something to eat, and they gave him some fish and some honey comb and he ate it. And then they went with him out to a mountain and in this body, this body of flesh, he said, flesh and bones that ate, talked to them, held their hands, they held his. He ascended to heaven. And the scripture says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's a man at the right hand of God in flesh, glorified flesh. And someday, Job said, this flesh the worms are going to destroy, but I'm going to be raised. And I'm going to see my God in the flesh. Myself. Not another. Christ said that to his disciples. He said, it's I myself. Touch me, handle me, and see. We're going to be ourselves. I'll die in this body. My body will be buried. My body will be buried. And one day, God's going to raise my body. And my eyes. Job went on. He said, my eyes are going to behold him. My eyes. Not somebody else's. New eyes, perfect eyes. We were buried corruptible, we're raised incorruptible. Buried mortal, raised immortality. Buried in shame, raised in glory. Holiness, perfect. Behold, now are we the sons of God. We're sons of God now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we'll see him as he is. How is he? As he is when he rose from the grave and touched those disciples. That's right, and they touched him, and he ate with them. And they saw him going up to heaven. And the angel said, this same Jesus is coming back. This same Jesus that you've seen go up is coming down. Same one. And we're going to be like him. That's right. We're going to be like him. We know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him. And I'll be satisfied, David said, when I wake with his likeness. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to live on this new earth. It's going to be the creation restored. Just like God restored the soul and perfection that I lost in Adam, he's going to restore the creation that Adam walked on. And we're going to walk on a new earth. That's right. You mark my words. I'm telling you, in flesh and bones. And I've got a word for you older believers. Some of you are getting close. Don't be afraid to die. Look forward to it. God has delivered us from the fear of death. How has he delivered us? Well, number one, he died. He died first. He likewise took part of the same. My Lord died. You know, we used to play a game when we were kids. We'd come to a log over a creek, and they'd say, you go first. Nobody wanted to go first. Finally, somebody would go, and then we'd all follow. See, you go. He died first. And he removed the sting of death, which is sin. And he changed the character of death. No longer judgment for believers. And he walked out of the grave. And someday, you will too. If you can say, I know my Redeemer liveth. And you stand on this earth. And I'll see him someday. Not another, myself. Oh, write for this message if you want it. I know my Redeemer liveth. We'll send it to you. Along with last week's message on the keys of the kingdom. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.